Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Making Steel Wars is a new collaborative podcast between myself and MakingStarWars.net's Jason Ward, where we talk about the stories behind the stories and we go in-depth on the Star Wars news items of today and yesteryear. On our third episode, we go in-depth celebrating 20 years of Star Wars Special Edition, recounting our fan memories, news articles at the time, and going through every change in all three movies and deciding whether that change made the film better or worse. It's a fascinating chat, and here's a clip. Yeah, so I remember in the Star Wars Galaxy magazine, there was a little blurb, a little announcement saying they're going to, release it. And it seemed like over time, it changed from like, we're just going to clean it up to, we're going to put a ton of new stuff in there. Like, it seemed like the direction changed at some point during the lead up.
Yeah. It definitely started as a small like re-release. And then I think they started adding some polish. And then I wish I had researched this now beforehand because I hadn't thought of it. But I know it cost $10 million, from what I understand, to do the New Hope Special Edition. And then it was $20 million to do all three movies. And it was like $2.5 was allocated to the audio. Just to redoing all of the audio and remastering it and mixing it and stuff like that. And I think I had heard a story that Fox actually kicked Lucasfilm down with the money just because the distribution deal was lucrative enough for them that having those films re-released and everything, it was worth it. So I don't think it started off as what it was. I think Lucas just kept going and going and going, and then they got the funds and then they went all out. Me and Randy had to go see Independence Day to see the special edition trailer. That was painful.
What are you talking about?
I really don't like that movie.
In the 90s.
It's so stupid.
In the 90s, Independence Day was the
See, in the 90s, I'm at the height of teenage angst, man. You know what I mean? I'm like, the man is keeping us down. I got Reservoir Dogs on VHS. I've seen The Professional. I don't need any of this stuff. You know what I mean? That was kind of...
Kurt is dead and so is my hope.
Exactly. When Kurt died, all innocence was lost. And I could not enjoy Independence Day. I was like, this shit is stupid. But what's funny was, I remember when Ewan McGregor was cast as Obi-Wan Kenobi, one of the promises he made in a magazine, I think it might have been like Us, was it wasn't going to be a shit film like Independence Day. He could promise you that. And I was like, yeah, because I was all about, at that time I was reading Trainspotting. That was a weird coincidence. I was really into Trainspotting because of liking alternative music and was reading Irvin Welsh's book and all that. And
it serviced your bleak worldview.
And then, when he became Obi-Wan Kenobi, I was like, George Lucas is a genius. He can do nothing wrong.
First Willow, still. Now this?
Hey, I still love Willow, man. I still love Willow.
I haven't seen it for, a good decade. But, I don't have any negative vibes about it at all. And what, it got so big, they sped up the films? Is that what happened? Did they make them come out quicker or later? I can't remember.
No, So I don't know what the actual, 100% truth was, but the special edition of A New Hope came out when it was supposed to. And what happened was A New Hope was performing so well, they ended up pushing them back by about a week each. And at the time, though, Howard Stern's Private Parts, the film was coming out, and it was really anticipated. And so there were two stories. The official story was it was pushed back because it was performing so well. They wanted to give it more time to breathe. The unofficial story was that the studio was afraid of private parts and moved it as to not have to compete directly, Empire and Jedi directly with private parts.
Well, you should. You should always be scared of anyone's private parts. They're hideous. They are hideous. Let's. So you had to go to see Independence Day, which I went to. I went to the midnight screening. We all drove to Frankston, 3-car convoy, midnight screening to catch Independence Day, and I left very satisfied. I've said this before, but when the president gives that Independence Day speech, I've never been more proud to be an American.
I was, it was for me, in all honesty, like it was hard going from 80s filmmaking, though, that I still really, really love, like those movies, going into the 90s era, that was a little bit more like where we were on the road to the Michael Bay kind of style of action movies. It just didn't sit well with me, and I think Independence Day just became like the focal like point of that kind of filmmaking. You know what I mean? It kind of exemplified where we were losing the 80s genius.
Yeah.
And
but there was always that search for the next Star Wars. Like, I remember Stargate, just loving Stargate, going, oh, let this be it. And then Independence Day. It was always that, like, we were so starved for something. And just please, give me something to get into. Please.
I actually kind of liked Stargate back then. I don't think I admitted it, though. I think I kind of was like, this is kind of cool.
Oh, I thought I went to the city to see that, as well, like, when it opened, and I remember just like going, oh yeah, this could be.
Yeah.
And there was reviews as well that was like, this is the Star Wars of our time. Star Wars is dead.
There was an ad, I think, that played that was like Star Wars versus ancient Egypt or something like that. It was like one of the weird quotes that they played. I was like, okay. Okay. I'll see it.
So, you had to sneak, or you went to see Independence Day to see it. I was at a skateboard contest in Frankston, and it was showing, for some reason, at our local cinema, the Star Trek, it was Star Trek Generations, maybe? That was on at our cinema, but it didn't have the Star Wars trailer attached. But then in Frankston, which was the city, like the town sort of, like, the mid-sized city on the way to Melbourne, they had it. I don't even know how I don't know what I was. Was I ringing up cinemas? How did I know this information?
Dude, it's word of mouth, man. In the 90s, word of mouth was a really big thing.
But I didn't know anyone to mouth with.
Mm-hmm.
I was a lone wolf out there.
We did call people in the 90s more than we do today after texting. It's weird to think about it. I used to call up Kenner to ask him what the next action figures were going to be for Power of the Force 95 when that came out. I used to call them daily, and then what was it like it was like 1-800-TRUE-FAN was the other number you could call, and you could also buy stuff and order the magazine, but you could ask them questions. And I'm like, so do you have a Greedo in the computer? And I remember
in that voice, in that tone of voice.
Oh yeah, it was like Hey, babe, you guys got a Boba Fett coming out anytime soon? And then
hey, baby, what you been hearing about that Boba Fett?
And then it was weird going into the special edition with really ripped Star Wars action figures at that time, too.
Ah, yeah, we'll talk about that on the next episode of Steel Wars, about how Lando's six-pack somehow went through his shirt. That's how powerful a six-pack it was. It just could not be contained by a loose-fitting blue cotton shirt. No sirree. But the trailer, right? So we were at this skateboard contest, and after it finished, we were like, oh, let's go to see if, we've got to see this trailer, because we'd heard about it. And me and my friend Tim, We asked the lady, we said, oh, we just want to come in and watch the Star Wars trailer and then we'll leave. Is that all right? And she's like, yeah, that's cool. And So you've got on the big screen, it's got the little TV, like the 4x3, like '90s television. And it's got the Death Star battle and the X-Wings going down. And the way they did it was the screen, the TV was sort of meant to be the real life size of a TV on a giant film screen. And I guess it was never in scale properly because screens are different sizes. But that was sort of the effect. And then there was this voice, this like trailer voice saying for the past, what was it, 20 years or something, Star Wars fans, this is the only way you've ever been able to see Star Wars until now. And I'm tearing up just recounting this memory. The X-Wings are like swooping down on the screen and then an Boom. X-Wing comes out of the TV.
Yes, that happened.
Onto the screen. This is in the first 10 seconds and my friend Tim taps me to go, how cool is this? And he looks at me and I am bawling. It was like this Star Wars thing was in my head, like, you know, and I loved it and stuff, and I went on about it, and I started buying the new figures and stuff, but it was like that first time where it was just like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
I have some bizarre attachment to these films.
I remember getting the poster from that campaign. It was like the reason they built movie theaters, is what it said.
Oh, yeah, so good. And it was so annoying because the Australian version didn't have that.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't at, like, we were,
Guess I don't seem so racist now, do I?
we couldn't have that form of arrogance in our movie marketing. We've got the tall poppy syndrome here in Australia, so we couldn't have someone, you know, the biggest film of all time, letting people know. But yeah,
well, it did go to their head, because remember with Phantom Menace, they had that poster and it was taking a shot at Godzilla, and it said plot does matter.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
now you get Godzilla directors to making new films,
right?
How about that? But I loved the arrogance of that poster. This is the reason they make movie cinemas. It's just like, hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah.
And I didn't even see it as arrogant. I'm like, yeah, like that's why I go to the movies. Like you're just talking sense, poster.
To hear the entire 2 hour plus Making Steel Wars episode, along with the other two Making Steel Wars episodes, all the complete Steel Wars interviews and bonus content like the extended call-in shows and listener Q&As, become a Steel Wars supporter. It is just $3 Australian a month, which is about $2.20 American a month, and probably about £1.50 for our UK listeners. It is all handled through the Bandcamp app. And you can download the hours and hours of supporter-exclusive content onto your desktop, or you also get access to a special supporter-exclusive RSS feed that gives you easy access directly to your phone to all the episodes ad-free. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm feeling that you're supporting the content that you listen to a couple times a week. For all the details, please go to steelwars.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.